and Kathy Dawes now, along with Marty Vanier. And, of course, as we have mentioned many times before, she's with NBAF, Homeland Security's Director of Partnership Development, and appreciate her being here to give us frequent updates about what's going on. I drove by the facility I was mentioning to you last night out for a little motorcycle ride. Talk about impressive. It's really starting to come out of the ground and be quite obvious.
Yes, it's huge. And from my point of view where I work, I look west to east and so can look up the hill and see the buildings in the K-State Research Park, but it's rapidly closing in on that view as they continue to pour concrete for the lab level and the interstitial and the mechanical level. Pretty soon I won't be able to see up the hill anymore.
All right. Well, and I know that today you in particular wanted to talk about the Federal Select Agent Program. And I guess in layman's terms, what are we talking about, Marty?
Well, we're talking about a program that registers facilities and people who work on particularly significant, in most cases, viruses, but on particularly significant biological agents. And the program was created early in the century, and the requirement is that these are agents that have been identified by either CDC or the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service at USDA as presenting a very high risk to national security because they are a severe threat to either public health, animal health, plant health, or animal or plant products. So there's been an assessment done by these entities, and they've identified particular biological agents that they believe are particularly severe in the effects that they can have on health and public health and public safety in the food supply.
I don't know. Are there examples, names that we would have heard? I mean, kind of a general idea what we are talking about there.
Yes, it would be. I want to say it would be all the usual suspects, but in this case, for instance, for the purposes of NBAF, the select agents would be foot and mouth disease, classical swine fever, African swine fever, Rift Valley fever, Nipah virus, and Hendra virus. Those are the six that are proposed for NBAF, and those are all considered select agents. Other select agents would be certain of the brucellas. Anthrax is obviously a select agent. So it's all the bad things that you hear about.
Okay. And when you say it regulates research, what are we really talking about there? I mean, there's so many different aspects, and I would guess that each and every one of these would have different ramifications and regulations. But in a nutshell, I mean, if it's even possible to do that, some of the basic things that they do as they attempt to regulate these different areas.
Well, you're correct in the sense that they each have their own particular requirements and regulations. It doesn't regulate the research per se, but it regulates an entity's ability. So we'll use NBAF, obviously, as our example. It regulates NBAF's ability to possess the agent, to store the agent, to work on the agent, and it also requires that any scientists who are working on that agent must also meet certain requirements and be registered. So not only does the facility, the building, and the individual laboratories have to be registered, but any person working on that agent has to be registered. And the other complexity in all of this is that each agent's registration is separate and different. So in other words, the registration for foot and mouth disease will be different than the registration for classical swine fever. And just because you're registered for one doesn't mean you're registered for the other. So you have to designate what laboratory that work is going to be in, and you have to designate the individual people who will be on that research project. And only those people can work on that agent. So I was trying to think of an analogy that would make sense. If you think about cars and drivers, if we use a simple example of, you know, you, Kathy, have your car and your driver's license, and your car is registered and has a license plate, and I have my car and my driver's license and my registration and license plate. Under select agent rules, you couldn't drive my car and I couldn't drive your car unless we were each registered for that car. And if you drove my car, there would be a separate set of rules than the rules I would have for driving your car.
So generally, when you're talking about, you listed how many, 5 or 6 actual things that they'll be working with. So we'll have a different set of people working on each of those more than likely. I mean, I suppose it would be conceivable for somebody to be registered for more than one.
People can be registered for more than one. But yes, there are individual registrations for the individual people. So if I'm registered for FMD, I can't go work on classical swine fever until I get registered for classical swine fever, which is an entirely separate set of regulations, an entirely separate set of training that I have to have to understand how to work with that agent. So it's very complex and time-consuming to get those registrations.
So in a way, they're really all kind of separately being worked on. I don't know, would there ever be an occasion for collaboration, just out of curiosity, as they're working on these different things?
Not in the sense that you would have necessarily FMD researchers in a laboratory at the same time that you would have classical swine fever researchers in that same laboratory. That's not going to happen, because of the requirements for each of those agents. Now, can the scientists collaborate? Yes, but it's likely to be in a different space without the agents in the room.
We do have a phone call. Let's go ahead and take a call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please. Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you. So the first part of your question had to do with our timeline. Actual construction of the building will finish in December of 2020. So we've got 3.5 more years to put the building up. Now, toward the end of that period of time, they're obviously going to be installing equipment. And we've got a period of time where we do what we call commissioning. And that's making sure that all of the building management systems, the air handling equipment, the steam generators, the chillers, all of the security issues, the airlocks, the showers, the biosafety cabinets, everything that's in that building has to work. You have to think of the building as like a giant complex machine. And we need to make sure that that machine works as it's supposed to. So that process is called commissioning. That actually takes a couple of years. Commissioning will probably not finish until 2022. At that point, beginning toward 2020 through 22, there will be waves of people coming in that I think under your definition would be considered permanent research staff, because they need to understand how everything works in the building before they start research. So we'll finish the building, we'll go through commissioning. As we're going through commissioning is when we will be submitting the paperwork for this select agent registration for the various agents in the building. We can't do any research in the building until we have select agent approval. And as you might imagine, that's a very complex process. So we're not looking at beginning a research program in NBAF until 2023. But because all of these processes are so complex, we're actually starting right now to plan some of these things and to begin to work through the steps in the plan for commissioning, the steps in the plan for select agent registration. So we've actually already been talking to those folks for about a year now to so that they understand the building and they understand how it's being constructed and they understand the equipment that will be in the building, so that when it's time to submit the actual paperwork for the registration, they have a lot of this history and information already, and we're not starting from zero.
Any numbers, though, and I know I agree with the caller a little bit. I think there's a lot of numbers floating around out there, and I don't know if you have a better idea, especially now as you're talking about they need to be special, you know, for each of these different things that they'll be working with.
So the short answer to your question is that we expect permanent employees of NBAF to be in the range of 350 to 400. And that will be, you know, right around the 2022, 2023, 2024 period of time. So those will be the everyday numbers of people that go to work in NBAF for its research and diagnostic function. Now, up to then, we're going to have people coming in and out, and that's due to construction. You know, once we finish pouring concrete, we're not going to need the concrete finishers anymore. So that group will leave, and then we'll begin to have more of the, you know, plumbers and electricians and the folks who apply the coatings to the walls and the floors and install machinery and all of that. So that's where you get the waves of temporary people coming in and out. And those numbers change depending on where we are in the construction schedule. So that's where you sort of hear those numbers about, you know, 200 to 800 to 600 to whatever. That's all the construction function. But once that's finished and the research community and the diagnostic community comes in to start occupying the building to do the actual mission of NBAF, that'll be in the range of 350 to 400.
Why don't we go ahead and take a break? It is now 9:19. And again, a reminder, do appreciate the call we received. Good questions there. 537-1350, toll free, 866-776-1350. Or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. Again, we have with us today Marty Vanier, and she's NBAF and Homeland Security's Director of Partnership Development.